News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you real quickly, it's 424, 425 now, I just flipped over, 425 PM, and you may be thinking, it's the end of the day, what am I going to do on the way home? Should I get a bite to eat? Should I just head on to the house? What am I doing tomorrow morning? I'm coming in early because I got that thing, that meeting. I need a good cup of coffee to wake myself up. Well, all of those things can be taken care of at Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe has got two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville, and I have been to both, and both are awesome. And I'm telling you, what a great place to hang out. You can have a cup of coffee, use their Wi-Fi, read a book, meet with friends, but their menu, man, oh man, their menu is good. The menu, you can pick it up, take it home, or eat it there. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Omelets, waffles. They've got wraps, sandwiches, salads, all of it. I'm just saying. And then on top of that, of course, it's called Just Love Coffee. So you can imagine some of the best brews, the best roasts. They've got all the macchiatos, the cappuccinos, and just a good cup of black coffee. I'm just saying. Check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations. One on Hughes Road in Madison and the other one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Love those places. All right. So listen, breaking news I just said a moment ago was right before Copper's Corner was that it came out that the jury in the Ghislaine Maxwell case had reached a verdict. They have indeed reached a verdict. She is guilty on 5 out of 6 charges. She is guilty of being a sex trafficker of children. She is guilty of being a conspirator for sex trafficking of children. She is guilty of trafficking children across state lines for the purposes of sexual exploitation. She is a pedophile. She is a she is now a convicted sex offender, and she is a monster in that regard. The jury spent 6 days reviewing all the evidence and found her guilty on 5 out of 6 counts. She right now faces, almost every single one of them. Now, one of those has a maximum possibility of 40 years. The rest of them, I believe, have maximum of 5 years each. It'll depend on whether they consider these to be concurrent sentencing or whether they stack them. But nonetheless, unless her appeal does something that we can't foresee right now, she will be spending some time behind bars. And based upon the evidence that the jury saw, it is well deserved. I just hope that the other perpetrators, the people who rode on that plane out to that island, I hope that we find out one day who they were and that they, in fact, are also brought to justice. Because I believe that there are probably some people in power, people in positions of authority, and people in positions of high levels of commerce in corporate America that don't want their names coming out, and they'll do anything to prevent it. It's a sick situation. But I am, and I hope one day, too, we find out, did Jeffrey Epstein really kill himself in that jail cell? It was kind of weird. Funny how the camera went out, and a guy who was being watched manages to hang himself in his own cell. But, folks, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was the number one co-conspirator in all of it, appears. The one who actually went and found the girls and groomed them and coached them and trafficked them for Jeffrey Epstein and his cronies. She's been found guilty on 5 out of 6 counts, and she's going away for a while. Hey, listen, we're going to move to the next section of the Triple Dipper when I get back. The next section is going to be on elections have consequences, but it's on the elections themselves that I'm focusing on, not the results of them. It's the fact that Democrats are doing all they can right now to change our election processes. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Hey, and by the way, you hear our team members being advertised all the time. Like I just told you about Just Love Coffee a minute ago. Let me just point out to you that if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we have the ability to do that separately just from what the station does. So yes, you hear the ads about how you can advertise on Cumulus, but if you want to advertise per se on Right Side Radio, you got to contact us. Go to rightsideradio.org, click on the contact. You'll find Bobby and you'll also find the ability to contact Ed, and they will square you away on how to become one of the team members with Right Side Radio right there at rightsideradio.org. All right, we're going to a short break. When I get back from this break, I got the third part of the Triple Dipper in the last half hour of the show. We're going to be talking about elections have consequences. I got a great clip for you from Representative Chip Roy. He puts it down right there where the baby goes can get to it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Some of you guys got the car keys ready. You're ready to head home, getting that go-home traffic. It's 4:35 p.m. We're brewing the last 30 minutes of the show here. Hey, listen, I'm going to flip over to the number three piece of our triple dipper. Elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. We say that. You know, it's like when the losing side hates the fact that things are going a certain way, elections have consequences. Well, let me tell you one of the things that's happening right now. The changing of elections also has consequences. And so what we're seeing right now is that Democrats are literally trying to say that Republicans are trying to steal your right to vote, and we're not. I was personally proud to be a member of the Alabama State Senate when we did certain things like putting in voter ID. I remember when a small town in South Alabama had 110% of the population turn out to vote in the mayoral races. 110%. That's like more than the population, if you catch what I'm saying. And so voter fraud matters, folks. And voter fraud happens at all levels. And the only way you do that is by you tightening up your processes. And let me point out, we've had Secretary of State John Merrill on this show several times. Alabama has some pretty solid voting integrity laws. We have voter ID requirements. We do not have all of the loosey-goosey, you know, mail-it-home-to-you kind of ballots. We don't have, you know, drive-by balloting. So all said and done, even with all that happening, Alabama had record turnouts during the pandemic, whereas other states like Pennsylvania, it was too scary. We need to make it too easy. And they're mailing out ballots to people's houses, and they're doing craziness. And, you know, Donald Trump's not president. I accept that. Don't try and tell me nothing unusual happened. Don't try and tell me that at all. But Donald Trump is not president, and I accept that. Moving forward, though, the Democrats are freaking out because since that time, a number of Republican states have been doing what they can to make sure their processes are a little tighter and that things can't happen like what happened in Pennsylvania, where the Secretary of State changes the laws on his own, even though he has no authority to do so. Well, story right here in the New York Times, dated today. New York Times. Yes, I did. I went there. New York Times. With basically the title of it is a whole paragraph. The title of this article, dated today, is Voting Rights and the Battle Over Elections. What to Know? Since the 2020 election, Republicans have pursued a host of new voting restrictions across the country. Here's where things stand. That's the title. Okay. Only the Republicans are apparently trying to do things. No. But if you read this article, you would think that those wascally Republicans are out there trying to do everything they can to defeat the ability for the poor and disenfranchised, minorities and all, to vote. That's just ridiculous. The very idea that voter ID, if you oppose a voter ID, but you will gladly show your ID to buy a beer, or you will gladly show your ID to get a plane ticket, but you won't show your ID to vote, what's wrong with you? And oh, by the way, do not try and insult the entire population of a certain demographic, whether it be black, white, or Asian, or anything else for that matter, by saying they don't know how to get a voter ID. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So anyway, the story in the New York Times goes on to say the Republicans have made a new concerted effort to restrict voting and give itself more power over the mechanics of casting and counting the ballots. Wide-ranging laws in Republican-led legislatures, overhauling election systems, planning a new wave of such laws in 2022. What are they trying to do? A two-pronged approach, imposing additional restrictions. Okay, I'm throwing down the BS card on all this. But number one, where they say, how are Democrats pushing back? Well, it says, very simply, through Congress and the courts, but so far with limited success. But they're trying. They've got two major pieces of legislation right now in D.C. These are just as important, if not more so than that. No, they're more important. They're more important than that Build Back Better bill in terms of what they could do to our system. They're literally trying to change the standards and get to a point that all elections have been federalized, despite the fact that our Constitution mandates that the state legislatures will determine the voting laws of each state. They're trying to draw them all into D.C. where they can be centralized. They're trying to do away with voter ID requirements. They're trying to loosen up the processes by which votes are assembled and counted. It's unbelievable, and it's basically what they're trying to do is they recognize the success they had in 2020. By using the pandemic to change all the rules. And they got away with it. And now they want to do it on an epic level. Copper, I'm going to use clip three right away. So if you got clip three ready, go ahead and highlight it for me, and I'll know you're good to go. But okay, you ready right now? Let's do this. Representative Chip Roy, who I am a fan of, by the way, a member of the Freedom Caucus in Congress, Chip Roy from Texas, was doing an interview on Fox about this very thing. He had some great comments. Go ahead and play clip three, Copper.
Here now, Texas Congressman Chip Roy joins me. Congressman, what is your reaction to Vice President Harris saying that essentially America is about to be wiped off the map in terms of credibility when it comes to our election process?
Well, Katie, well, I hope you had a Merry Christmas. Good to be on the show. And, you know, look, the threat to our republic, the threat to our national security is sitting right there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in both the vice president and the president. These are individuals who are at war with the American people. They're at war with the rule of law. They don't care about it, right? Texas is under assault right now with wide open borders. China is as empowered as ever. We saw what happened in Afghanistan. We're empowering the Russians with Nord Stream 2, leaving Ukraine dangling in the wind. Meanwhile, inflation is skyrocketing, and they're focusing on the elections. The elections are the very thing that the American people are going to seek to use next year, and they know it. And they want to do everything they can to try to stop the American people for standing up in defense of this great country. The small businesses, the local communities, the people out here in real America who are actually fighting to save their country. Democrats want to stand as roadblocks in that. You know, I gave a speech a couple of weeks ago in which I excoriated my House colleagues for being the United States House of Free Stuff, going out and just spending money. And now you see Congresswoman Jayapal saying that the president ought to just spend $1.8 trillion without congressional approval. That is wrong. And to be clear, I introduced legislation when President Trump was in the White House, the Article I Act, to prevent any use of executive power to do that sort of thing. The American people are tired of the swamp games, and Democrats are starting to show exactly how they feel about our democracy.
All right, stop right there. And we're going to pick him up again in a minute, but here's the deal. He's exactly right. Their goal is to change the standards. Remember, I gave my whole opening monologue today about the changing the standards. If you can't win, go change the standard. Go change the rules, and then you can win. Well, that's a cheap win, and that's also, by the way, not the way it's supposed to work. Now, there's several layers of their attempts right now to grab hold of the election processes and to literally re-sculpt the way that we do elections in the United States. And I don't say that lightly. By the way, I'm not a sensationalist. I'm an attorney. I know that before I go to the judge, and by the way, all of y'all are the judge, before I go to the judge, I have to be able to argue the facts of my case. And I do my research before I come in here. 1965, the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act was there during a time or an era of true racism, of a time when blacks were largely disenfranchised in the voting system. And the Voting Rights Act of 1965 added a process known as preclearance, meaning before you could ever change the rules or institute new district lines or voting maps, that it had to have a preclearance by the Department of Justice. Well, 10 years ago, roughly, the U.S. Supreme Court decided, you know what, we're finally past that point. And the U.S. Supreme Court, 10 years ago, before Trump had a chance to change the makeup of the court, mind you, the U.S. Supreme Court decided, you know what, it's time to end the preclearance. States have a right, and we have moved past those days. And so the preclearance aspect went away. Well, number one attack is this. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General appointed by President Biden, has urging Congress to restore the Justice Department's preclearance authority. That's the first thing I'm looking at right now in this article on U.S. News. U.S. News dated last Friday. He wants preclearance put back in place, and so he is literally seeking that out. At the same time, Democrats in Congress are thrusting forward two major pieces of legislation. One is known as the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and the other is known as the Freedom to Vote Act. Both of them will combine to do things like strip away the ability for states to control election laws. Both of them will do things like combine to do away with things like voter ID requirements. They'll also soften the standards as to how votes can be compiled and accounted. They will create federal oversight over elections. So if they don't like what you've done, you know, in the mayoral election in Huntsville, Alabama, they can come down here and institute certain changes. You won't have the ability to run elections campaigns the way you do now. And I would not be a bit surprised to find out they don't begin making it very onerous for candidates, not just the actual elections themselves, but they'll begin dealing with things that relate to the candidates. Because right now, that's currently, except for federal elections, that's currently done at the state level. Well, all this is happening right now. Luckily, the same two people who have stood in the gap, because remember, we got a 50-50 split right now in the U.S. Senate, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are standing in the gap again, because the only way they know they're going to get those legislations, those pieces of legislation passed, is if they can get around the procedural hurdles related to the filibuster in the Senate. If you're not familiar, the filibuster is just that fancy word that basically means you can try to block a bill with heavy debate. You can stay on the bill. You can not allow debate to end. You can continue to speak at the microphone. And they want to, and that, by the way, you have to have 60 votes to end a filibuster. 60. They want to reduce that. They want to carve out an exception to the filibuster rules so they can get this done, because they know the only way they can get it is if they can pass it with a simple majority, because they don't have the votes. But right now, they don't even have a simple majority, because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema won't give them their vote on this piece of legislation, and won't give them their vote on any changes to the filibuster. Praise God for these two Democrats. We already saw one of them get past. Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, has already supported one of these pieces of legislation. Well, I'm just telling you, folks, we've got to watch this like a hawk. Because this filibuster end, talk about changing the standards, talk about changing the elections forever. President Biden, article here off of, it's a local news story out of KCRA in Sacramento, California, but it appears to have been sourced through CNN, came out this past Sunday. President Joe Biden says he supports making an exception to the Senate filibuster rules in order to pass voting rights legislation. He says, quote, if the only thing standing between getting voting rights legislation passed and not getting passed is a filibuster, then I support making the exception of voting rights for the filibuster. That's what he said this past Thursday. And it's the most direct answer he's given. I'm just saying, folks, dangerous times. When you start changing the rules to get unagreed to legislation passed that changes systems and every aspect of the way we do things for elections, that is dangerous. And I tell you right now, it will end elections as you know it. All right, Copper, run us to our last break of the day. We come back from that, I'll wrap up this segment and wrap up the day with you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I'm glad to be a part of this every day with you, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m., Right Side Radio. Good stuff. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Yep, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and, Copper, you got clip five. You good to go on that? Representative Chip Roy is going to put a capstone on the discussion about elections have consequences for the Triple Dipper. Let's do this. Go ahead and play that, and I want to save a minute to talk about a piece of breaking news that came out before I close the show. Clip five, Copper.
Capitol Hill, and you get to work with the squad oftentimes. Senator Joe Manchin gets the luxury of being in a separate chamber on Capitol Hill. But talk about this destructive behavior that the squad is taking on of trying to get the president of the United States to go around Congress because they didn't get this $2 trillion spending plan as they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. One of the fundamental pillars of the strength of our republic, right? Let's not talk about democracy. The republic is separation of powers and Congress being separate from the executive branch. And they want to end run that. They want to have Biden use powers that he doesn't have, that would be unconstitutional, to spend money that he can't spend. And they're doing that purposefully. And look, some of us have been consistent. Like I said, I introduced legislation when President Trump was in office saying that you can't use executive powers beyond what Congress approves. That's what the American people want. They want us to do our job. And now they want to end run the filibuster in the Senate. Now, look, I worked in the Senate as a staffer. I was Senator Cruz's chief of staff. I was a lawyer on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I know how the filibuster works, and it's an important part of the cooling saucer. And this is something that I think is a real problem for the health of our republic if the Democrats undo that and start peeling the threads back so that they can try to advance a radical agenda. We need
stop
to stand
there.
Strong.
Go ahead and stop there, Copper. So you heard it. There it is. That's the culmination of this day. I had the travesty on the troops, which is a little bit separate from the other two, but what I'm looking at here is I had two segments, one called Which Science Do We Follow? And the other on Elections Have Consequences, both of which show government overreach and the inability of liberals to recognize that there are standards that we still go by. That's got to stop. Well, let me end the show with a bit of breaking news. So I just saw that in the last 45 minutes it was posted on AL.com that Nancy Worley, the longtime former chair of the Alabama Democrat Party, she was our Secretary of State at one point, and she was also the president of the Teachers Union, died this morning at age 70 in Montgomery. Nancy Worley, a longtime political opponent to anything that I stood for, but I respect the fact that she was in the process. Everything that she did was the opposite of what I would want to see done, but nonetheless, she went at it. And she was originally from this area. She was originally from New Hope. She taught for 26 years, apparently, in Decatur City Schools. She went on to be the president of the Teachers Union, and then she went from there to be the chairman of the Democrat Party and served for one term as a Secretary of State. Nancy Worley died today at the age of 70. She was a fixture in state politics. All right, folks, that's a full day. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be back here tomorrow, Copper and I both, 2 to 5, heading into the weekend with the new year coming. Bad weather on the forecast. You guys be careful. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.